98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Cardinals GM Steve Keim.
Keim time.
With Burns and Gambo. Presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Welcome back to the Burns and Gambo Show. We're live from the Yachin Community Studios here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. It's Friday. It's 3 o'clock. So we're talking with the general manager of the Cardinals, Steve Keim. He joins us here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, just a few days out of the Cardinals' first playoff game in a few years. Steve, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Great to be back on. Excited about the opportunity on Monday.
Well, let's talk about that that Monday game. You guys have been dealing with injuries for the better part of the second half of the season. How healthy do you think your team will be for this game on Monday?
Yeah, and I think, Gambo, that's the a great thing right now for us is I know that there's a number of guys that are trending in the right direction. Not 100% sure on probably a handful of them of whether they will go on Monday or not. Obviously, getting an extra day is beneficial for us, but a lot of these guys are feeling much better and have been able to do some limited things in practice.
So we look for setbacks, right? Okay, a guy comes back and then there's a setback, or I assume he's not going to play. Tell us about J.J. Watt. He's had a couple of practices now. You said he's trending in the right direction, but no setbacks, correct?
No setbacks. And again, I mean, J.J., I've said it many times on this radio show, his commitment and his dedication is just second to none. I mean, the guy rehabbed like probably like nobody I've ever seen in this business, and it's just been amazing to watch. And it really, to me, if we have an opportunity to get him back, will be a great jolt to our defense and to the energy in our team.
Is that something at this point that you're willing to commit, that you think you'll have him back Monday? You're not sure you'll have him back on Monday? What's your level of confidence right now in his ability on Monday?
Not sure, just because, you know, with injuries, guys, the one thing I'll say is, you know, doctors and trainers can say certain things, but players have to feel prepared and ready to go. And J.J.'s smart enough to be able to tell us in the next couple of days of whether he can go or not. And we're just hopeful to have him out there.
Gambo referred to this a moment ago. A lot of guys you could be getting back, not knowing exactly how it's going to shake out for your running back tandem. How important was it when those guys were healthy to what you guys were trying to do offensively? And what would it mean if you were able to get some semblance of that back on Monday with Connor and Chase being out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd like to have both of them back, Burns, because of the things that they do schematically. I mean, they're both different style backs. Obviously, Chase creates a lot of mismatches in the passing game and can really do a number of things for you offensively. And then Connor, obviously, you know, just the ability to pound the football and create yards after contact and just the physicality of his game, to me, brings a lot to the table. So to have both those guys back there, I think would be really beneficial for us. But again, we'll see. And probably by Sunday, we should know something.
When a team gets down to their fifth, sixth cornerbacks, it usually spells trouble. Marco Wilson and then Breshad Breeland. I want you to just comment on those guys. You signed Breeland. Is there a good chance? Do you feel like he will be active and ready to play in this game on Monday?
I do. I think there's a chance that we get both those guys to play. You know, I think that the one thing about Breeland that we've liked so far is he's a really savvy guy. He's played a lot of football. So schematically, he's done a lot of different things. He understands concepts, and he's a smart guy. So the fact that he's played a lot of football is beneficial as well. And then, you know, with Marco, you know, again, we'll see with the injury. But you know, he's another guy that's trending in the right direction and have loved seeing his competitiveness at practice this week.
The familiarity with the Rams, do you look at it as a positive or a negative?
You know, I think a positive. I mean, because anytime you know another team's personnel and understand what they can do, you know, can help you in some ways. But at the same time, we have to execute. And we know that, you know, they have a number of very talented players that create issues for you, whether it's, you know, Aaron Donald or Jalen Ramsey. I mean, guys that are absolutely phenomenal at their positions. And, you know, they're a tough task. But if we play like we did last time we went to L.A., I think we have a good chance.
Yeah, we talked to you last week, and I know you talked glowingly about wanting to get this one for the fans, about wanting to get this division in a home game for the fans, for everything that they've done for the organization throughout the years. Is there a part of you, even a small part of you, given your success on the road, that is happy you're on the road for this game on Monday?
Yeah, you know, I think that maybe that it becomes a mental thing after a while, unfortunately, you know, because there's no doubt that, you know, when you look at this year, the way it played out, disappointing disappointed about the way we played at home at times. But I also don't want to take away from the things we've accomplished, to win 11 games in the regular season, to go to the playoffs, all those things, because I'm very, very proud of this football team and the organization, and I think we've come a long way. But, you know, playing on the road, again, is a great task and something that our players almost relish, and I'm not sure why, but our ability to play fast, to play with tempo, and to play football at a high executed level on the road has been fun to watch, and I expect us to be good on Monday night as well.
Steve Keim, general manager of the Cardinals, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show for his weekly Friday visit. The red zone challenges you guys have faced the last few weeks, a lot of, you know, 29, 31 yard field goals, which, you know, good for points on the board, but ultimately you want to be scoring touchdowns there. What have you guys been able to diagnose in terms of the keys to getting better in the red zone and the things that have kept you from doing that the last few weeks?
Yeah, it always comes down to execution and communication, making sure that everybody's on the same page with the quarterback, the offensive line understands what their protections are, and again, executing, going out and doing the right things and not committing penalties. You know, obviously, we've had way too many penalties this year with a number of false starts and the different things that puts you behind the sticks. And we can't play like that. We have to play fast. We have to play smart. And if we're able to execute, obviously, you've seen this year, we can play with anybody in the league.
I the offensive line at times has been great this year. You have any quick update on Beecham before I ask you the my next question?
Yeah, no, I think he'll be in a good place to go, Gambo. He's seems like he's feeling pretty good, and to have all those guys back healthy has been also extremely exciting to see.
Yeah, this team, you know, the red zone thing is something, man, we've talked about that quite a bit, and just not having Hopkins. I mean, all of his touchdowns were in the red zone. I mean, you know, what do you expect? I mean, is there going to be something different? I mean, this is it, right? This is the first time you guys are in a win or go home game. You've had chances to clinch playoff spots, but you were always playing the next week. What do you expect? Are we going to see something different in the red zone?
No, you know, I don't know that it's seen something different. It's, again, making sure that we execute, and also the guys in there, you know, just stepping up and making plays. And that comes down to guys like Zach Ertz, and, you know, who's been phenomenal for us since we've made the trade. And, you know, if Rondale has a chance to go. Obviously, Kyler's ability to beat you with his feet is something that, you know, I don't want to say that that's the game plan, but knowing that it's a big game and winner takes step, goes on to the next step, you know, I would expect him to play at a high level and to play with his feet as well at times.
Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury, your head coach, had made mention of that a couple of days ago, expecting that this was going to be Kyler Murray's best game. What are you expecting out of your franchise quarterback on Monday night, Steve?
Yeah, I know he likes to play under the big lights, and he's done it his whole life, his whole career, dating back to when he was in, you know, Pop Warner football. He loved to play in the big games, and I think he really does relish this opportunity. So I would expect him to play well and to play lights out.
And maybe a little bit more with his legs, perhaps, is something we could possibly see?
Well, I mean, if there's a lot of guys getting open and we're protecting well, we might not have to. But, you know, he'll be ready to go. I know that. He has been dialed in this week, and it's been fun to see.
Your first game against the Rams, you guys did a phenomenal job of neutralizing Aaron Donald. The second game, he had 75 pressures and 14 sacks in the game. So what's the key? I mean, he's almost – do you play an extra offensive lineman? Do you keep a tight end in? I mean, you know this. I mean, their defense is middle of the pack, but they've got some real, real difference makers in Ramsey and Aaron Donald. What do you guys do to try to contain Aaron Donald a little bit?
There's no doubt. I mean, in my opinion, Aaron Donald is the most dominating positional player in the NFL of anybody. And it is a handful. There's no doubt about that. You know, to me, you're going to have to chip. You're going to have to protect differently. And more than anything, to slow down that rush, you have to run the football effectively. And the first time we were able to run the football pretty well on them, which created the balance that we needed. The second time, I don't think we ran the ball as good and got into a position where we're having to throw and play from behind. And that's not our game. You know, we have to be able to play fast, aggressive, and be able to run the ball effectively. And to me, that's the areas to the key to success.
All right, last one from me for Steve Keim, general manager of the Cardinals, who joins us here every Friday at 3 o'clock on the Burns and Gambo show, and that is the news that a couple of your right-hand men had some interviews this past week with the New York Giants talking about Quentin Harris and Adrian Wilson. For you, I'm sure it's a moment of pride, but at the same time, you've come to really rely on those guys. What were sort of the swirl of emotions that you had seeing that those two guys were getting a chance to interview for the Giants job, Steve?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you gave me an opportunity to talk about it because those guys are obviously both very special to me as being former players and being so close to them. But they've done a phenomenal job. They have taken every task that we've given them over the years and excelled at a high level. And to me, it's a great compliment to the organization that that they reached out and they have an opportunity to talk with these teams. I think that they're both going to be tremendous general managers and both have bright futures. So excited, but at the same time, I think you're right. You never want to lose good people.
Yeah. Steve, we appreciate the time. The best of luck to you and the organization on Monday. We'll all be watching. We all can't wait for it. And we'll hopefully talk to you next week, okay?
Thanks so much, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, Steve.
Steve Keim joining us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. You can watch the Cardinals-Rams game this Monday at your nearest Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers for the Big Red Viewing Party. For more information, check out coldbeers.com. Four Peaks Brewing Company is an official partner of the Arizona Cardinals. Always enjoy responsibly. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, one quarterback is making his postseason debut. One quarterback is looking for his first ever postseason win. A tale of two guys seen through the eyes of some stats. We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Football Friday with Burns and Gambo. Presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
It's easy. It's convenient. Sometimes it's a little lazy. If you want to talk about a football game and just make it all about the quarterbacks, but it's a common thing that I think a lot of us and a lot of fans just kind of fall back on when talking about the Cardinals and the Rams. It just turns into a conversation about Matthew Stafford and Kyler Murray, who's going to have the better game. But a lot of times, Gambo, it does very well come down to who's going to have the better game between the quarterbacks, right? Who's going to be able to fight through what the other guy is trying to do to them defensively and have the kind of game that they're capable of having? And look, I'm not going to sit here and say definitively that whoever has the best game between Matthew Stafford and Kyler Murray, that their team's going to win the football game, but that's going to go a long way towards whichever team's going to win the football game, whichever quarterback has a better day, right?
Sure. I mean, you get to this point, you rely on your quarterbacks to win. Now, there's still teams that can win with a great defense and a great running game. I mean, that still exists. But what you're asking your quarterback to do, some teams ask their quarterback, look, don't make a lot of mistakes. We've got a good defense. We've got a good running game. Don't make the mistakes. You know, keep us in the game. And, you know, some teams need quarterbacks to make plays. I think the Cardinals are in a spot, and I think the Rams are too, where they both need their quarterbacks to make plays to help them win the game.
Oh, big time. And as we've also come to find out, I'm watching right now on the NFL Network, they're replaying one of the NFC Championship games between the Dallas Cowboys and the 49ers with Joe Montana at quarterback. And what we've come to know is that oftentimes a quarterback can be defined by this moment. How do you perform in the playoffs? Are you special? Do you elevate your team to another level, or do you struggle to win games in this moment? And that's why it's kind of curious, this story that you passed along, and I'm not exactly sure where it came from. I think NFL.com. Ranking the quarterbacks based off of their, and I am not familiar with this stat at all, so don't look to me to be the guy who's going to explain this particular analytical thing. The Next Gen Stats new passing score metric. You want to take a stab at this one, Gambo? Tell me what it means. You don't know?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Me either. I know this. Of the 14 playoff quarterbacks, they've got Stafford ranked third. They've got Kyler Murray ranked ninth in this metric. And on Stafford, they say, they third. So obviously among the 14 guys, they think there's only two who's better. And it's a lot of glowing stuff they write about him. When he's been on his game this season, the Rams have been almost unstoppable. This is true. He's recorded a passing score above 87 in 8 games. 3 more than any other quarterback, and the Rams have won those games by an average margin of 2 touchdowns. The flip side of that coin, however, they write, is when Stafford has struggled, so have the Rams. He's had 5 games this season where he's earned a passing score below 80. three more than each of the other quarterbacks
and
in the top three.
Four of those games
by an average margin of double digits, about 10 points. Translation, when he's good, they are really good. Almost impossible to beat. When he's bad, oh, you can take him. Absolutely.
Yet, no surprise that number one is Aaron Rodgers on this list. Joe Burrow, you know, no surprise to me that Burrow's number two. Stafford comes in three, then Tannehill. Mahomes is number five. Josh Allen, six. Tom Brady, seven. And then Dak Prescott, eight, ahead of Kyler Murray at nine. Below Murray would be Jimmy Garoppolo at 10, Jalen Hurts at 11, Derek Carr at 12, Mac Jones at 13, and Big Ben at 14. So it's interesting how they, you know, how they rate it and everything. It's nice to have a quarterback. Listen, it's nice to have a quarterback that's rated here or there, and you know that I think the Cardinals have a top 10 quarterback, and he's rated that way in many things. But it is interesting when you look at the Matthew Stafford ratings to see how high he is rated, because Matthew Stafford, I mean, he could kill you more than any of these quarterbacks. He has the ability to just blow up your game with those interceptions. Because those interceptions, a lot of those interceptions are pick sixes.
Yeah.
Now, they do give him, and they said red zone, key score by situation, they give Matthew Stafford number one in the red zone. And that's an area that kind of stood out to me. He's number one versus the blitz, and he's number one again in the red zone. And that's something that's important because we've talked so much about the Cardinals' ability to score in the red zone. Look, if the Rams are going to get touchdowns in the red zone, you can't settle for field goals.
No. And that's where Kyler Murray is going to have to really elevate his game and elevate the game of those around him, whether it's Rondale Moore, whether it's Christian Kirk, A.J. Green, James Conner, hopefully, assuming he's available for this game, Zach Ertz. The Cardinals, have, you're 100% right. If Matthew Stafford is on his game, if Matthew Stafford is having one of the good Stafford games, then there's no question that 31-yard field goals aren't going to cut it. And you're not going to, you can't go on 14 play drives, 15 play drives, and end them with a Matt Prater field goal. And because of that, I would expect you're going to get, you know, we've seen Cliff be aggressive all year long with the play calling and going for it on fourth down. Man, you're going to, there's going to be more of that. There's very little doubt in my mind. If that's not your cup of tea, you better get ready for a lot of tea on Monday night, because I think Cliff's going to do that if the fourth down situations call for it, because he knows they're going to need touchdowns to beat the LA Rams.
Well, they throw the ball 57% of the time in the red zone. They throw the ball. Matthew Stafford's thrown 112 passes in the red zone. That's 57.4% of the team's red zone plays. So he's been good in the red zone, but you've got targets there, right? You got Cooper Kupp, who's great in the red zone. He's got 37 targets in the red zone, Cooper Kupp. Van Jefferson, 15. Tyler Higbee, 18. So there's three guys that they really rely on in the red zone. Cooper Kupp, by far, is the most targeted red zone player they have. 33% of the time, one out of every three times in the red zone, they target Cooper Kupp. Van Jefferson's at 13%. Tyler Higbee is about 16%. So it's not all Cooper Kupp, but a high percentage of the targets in the red zone, 191 targets in the red zone this year have been Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, and it's funny that you put it that way, because part of the reason why Kyler gets dinged in this rating and part of the reason why Kyler has gotten dinged in general over the last 6 weeks or so is because he hasn't had his Cooper Kupp out there. He hasn't had DeAndre Hopkins. He hasn't had that guy that has made Matthew Stafford one of the best red zone quarterbacks in the National Football League. Kyler hasn't had that guy. Now, you know, at some point, you have to put the excuses and the reasons off to the side and just figure out a way to make it work with what you've got. And to be honest with you, Kyler hasn't done a great job of that lately. He, if we're just being honest about it, he really hasn't. And that's what, in part, has led to what you and I've talked about most of the week. It has been a long time since Kyler Murray has wowed us with what he's done right at the quarterback position. Some of that has to do with injury, but man, you got to rise above this at that point. It's at this point, that is not going to get you a lot of brownie points with anybody. The fact that you're missing your top guy just doesn't work anymore.
No, I mean, yeah, you've had, and we've said this how many times this week, you've had plenty of time to figure this out, man, if you're Cliff.
Yeah.
It's not like you just lost Hopkins last week and now you got to try to figure it out. You've had plenty of opportunities to figure this out. Why are they not playing that well in the red zone? Why are they not getting it done? So you look at that and you try to figure out, does Cliff do something different? Does he Does he just say, listen, once we get in the red zone, I'm going to roll out? And maybe it is. I mean, maybe it's like the last couple minutes of a basketball game and you've got a guy. Maybe it is Zach Ertz. You know, make them double him. Zach Ertz is a big target. He runs good routes. Kyler was bragging about how open he is. He's a reliable pass catcher. I mean, so if that's the guy you got to target, you target him. I like Christian Kirk as well. I think Christian Kirk could be a big factor in this game. But you're right. It's not the Cardinals get the ball at the 20, 25-yard line. You're not worried about their ability to get inside the territory of the Rams. What you're worried about is when they get to the 20-yard line and inside the 20, because they have not been having success these last 4 to 6 weeks in the red zone.
Yeah, when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, as much as we're hyper-focused on the Cardinals and the NFC, there's three playoff matchups in the AFC this weekend. Two of them are real, real good. We'll take a look at the American Football Conference and their super wild card weekend next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Football Friday with Burns and Gambo. Presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
We probably aren't supposed to be here. We're probably not a very good football team. We're the, out of 14 teams I think are in, we're probably number 14. We're a double-digit underdog in the playoffs. So let's just go play and have fun and see what happens.
Oh, Ben, you savvy veteran. Using the reverse double trick psychology on you and your teammates there.
They are, by point spread, the biggest underdog in wild card round history. They opened up as a 13-point underdog.
Yeah,
I think it went down a little bit, but it's still the biggest spread in wild card weekend history. The largest spread for wild card game before the Steelers and Chiefs is somewhere around 11 points a game. And you can look at, and I was looking at just the numbers, right? 1996, the Vikings were a minus 10 at the Cowboys. 96, the Eagles were a minus 10.5 at the 49ers. More recently, the Bears were a minus 11 at the Saints in 2020. Washington was a minus 10 against the Bucks last year. That even though they were the home team. But, you know, there's and all of these teams, so you could look at them, right? The Bears were a minus, the Saints were a minus 11 against the Bears. The Saints were home, and they won by 12. The Bucks were a minus 10, and they won by 8. The Steelers were a minus 11 against the Dolphins, and they won by 18. Packers were a minus 11 against the Vikings in 2012. They won by 14. The point is, all of the biggest double-digit spreads ever all have wins that are double digits, yeah,
they,
12,
they almost
18,
always cover, yeah.
25 points in one game, 25 points in another game. Yeah, they almost always blow that team out.
Yeah, it's funny. Ben said that a couple days ago, and the guys, Mitch and Eric, were telling me that apparently Najee Harris on his Instagram account isn't in on the joke or doesn't understand what Ben is trying to do by saying that. He's like, man, what? What's he doing?
He obviously doesn't understand Roethlisberger's strategy.
Clearly not.
Game.
Yeah, he's like baffled on his Instagram page that his own quarterback would say these things about his own team. That is the difference between a guy who's been in the league for 18 years and a guy who's been in the league for 18 months.
I was going to say, the weird thing about Ben is this feels like nothing new coming from Ben. This has been like a repeated history of him saying outlandish things in the media.
Absolutely.
Supposed to get killed in this game.
Yeah.
Okay, they're supposed to get killed. But it's Ben Roethlisberger's last football game. They're not going to win, right? They're not going to win. They'll probably get clobbered in the game. But it's fun to, like, I'm glad Pittsburgh got in. I'm glad that they won that game last week, and then the other game didn't end in a tie. The Steelers are in. You get to see Ben Roethlisberger in the playoffs one last time.
We're looking at the AFC. That's the Sunday night game on NBC. Pittsburgh taking on Kansas City. And I think we all expect that's probably going to be the least engaging game of the weekend, at least on paper.
Yeah.
It looks to be. The other AFC games, it's a doubleheader tomorrow. And I'm really looking forward to a Saturday afternoon and evening of football, because I think these two have the potential to be very, very good games. Talking about the fifth-seeded Vegas Raiders going to fourth-seed Cincinnati. That's 2:30 in the afternoon Arizona time. And then it's 6:15 tomorrow night, the sixth-seed New England Patriots taking on the third-seed Buffalo, when it's going to be about minus 3 degrees in Buffalo for that game. It's going to be freezing cold.
Yeah, that's been the, you know, all week long. It's not, you know, Mac Jones, Josh Allen, the third game. It's like, man, how the hell are they going to play? It's so freaking, it's going to be so cold.
Yeah.
And it's the night game? Like, really?
Yeah, it's 8:15 at night in Buffalo.
Yeah. You couldn't even play that game earlier because of the weather?
I get it. I understand that's one that I'm sure that network wanted in that time slot for maximum ratings. It's the Patriots, it's the Bills, it's Josh Allen, it's Bill Bell. I get all that. But yeah, that does seem like that's one that could have been scheduled a little earlier in the day. Okay, let's talk about that game a little bit, because we know, much like the Cardinals and the Rams, there's a history with these two teams as division rivals this year. And what a weird history it is, too, at least recently, because in game one, we all know infamously what happened. The wind was blowing at like 50 miles an hour, and the Patriots ran the ball every single time, but three times. Mac Jones threw the ball three times in that game, and it was good enough to win against the Bills. The second time they played, it was the Josh Allen show. He was very, very good that second time around. Weather obviously is going to play a role in this, and it's a lot of it is going to come down to Belichick's defense against Josh Allen and who wins that kind of chess match when it's all said and done.
Listen, this is what Belichick's known for, making you play a bad game in the playoffs. He's great at it. He's great at making you play a bad game. But if you rely on your running game, and Josh Allen ran the ball really well the last time they played New England. Josh Allen actually ran the ball pretty well. I think the thing with Belichick is you got to worry about is just Jones. I mean, Mac Jones was really good this year. He was the best rookie. He's got his team in the playoffs. But, man, he's hit the proverbial wall.
Yeah.
He has not played well. They lost three out of the last four games down the stretch. He didn't play very well in those games. So, you know, that's kind of one of the things that I'm looking at is, you know, Mac Jones, if you've got to rely on Mac Jones to make some plays, you know, can he do it in this type of atmosphere and that type of environment? It will still be, as cold as it is, it'll still be loud there. It's still a tough place to play.
I came across this little nugget about Mac Jones going into this game. There are just six rookie quarterbacks who have won their first playoff start in the history of the NFL. That's it. Six rookie quarterbacks.
Do you have the quarterbacks?
I do, as a matter of fact. Here's the story. In the history of the NFL, teams have won only eight playoff games while starting a rookie quarterback. Two of those teams won two playoff games. That leaves us with six rookie quarterbacks who won their first ever playoff start. Here they are. Sean King with the Buccaneers in 1999. Ben Roethlisberger with the Steelers in 2004. Joe Flacco with the Ravens in 2008. Mark Sanchez with the Jets in 2009.
Oh, I remember that.
T.J. Yates with the Texans in 2011.
Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson with the Seahawks in 2012. That's it.
One.
Now, if you break down the list a little bit more, Yates didn't get the Texans to the postseason. He was filling in for Matt Schaub. He beat the Bengals. They were starting Andy Dalton in his rookie season. The Seahawks also got their win against another rookie quarterback in RG3 when Russell Wilson got it. So the only rookie quarterbacks to beat a veteran in their first playoff start, Sean King, Ben Roethlisberger, Joe Flacco, and Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the list.
What's the temperature? What's the temperature going to be game time?
I think it's going to be. Seriously, I think it's like 3 degrees.
Do you buy a beer if you're sitting at that game? I just want to know. I'm not a beer drinker. Do you buy a beer?
No. I'm hot chocolate. I'm hot chocolate. I sneak in Baileys. I sneak in Baileys in a hidden flask, and bring in hot chocolate. What are you shaking your head at me for, Mitch? What is that?
Do you drink beer when it's that cold?
Oh, there are people who will. Sure. Me. I'm hot chocolate and Baileys.
Growing up, I was the kind of person that drank hot chocolate even in the summertime.
No, well, then you're the wrong guy to ask.
So the complete reversal.
The other AFC game, Raiders, Bengals. And a lot of people think this one's going to come down to the Raiders' pass rush against the Bengals' ability to protect Joe Burrow. Because as good as Joe Burrow's been this year. He got sacked a lot this year, Gamble.
Yeah. I'm really, really looking forward to this game. I mean, you got Ja'Marr Chase, who had 1,455 receiving yards, the most by a rookie in this Super Bowl era. He was absolutely fantastic. And I like Derek Carr. I'm a Derek Carr fan. Like, I like Joe Burrow, too, but I'm a Derek Carr guy. I think he's pretty good. This is one of those games, like, I was looking at predictions today. Like, I think it was the ESPN predictions. One guy picked the Raiders 2017. The other one took the Bengals 31-17. Like, I think this one is one of the hardest games for people to decide who's going to win.
I agree.
I think this one is the one people really can't get a good feeling on either way.
I agree. And I'll say this. I don't dislike Derek Carr at all. I think it's remarkable that he's been around as long as he has and never gone to the playoffs. I think it's the third most starts for a guy who's never been to a playoff game. I think Fran Tarkenton was on that list. And there was another guy a long time ago who made a bunch of starts before he made his first playoff start.
Fran Tarkenton.
But I love watching Joe Burrow play quarterback. Man, that guy is swag defined. He just
T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Chase. There's a lot of what Joe Mixon. There's a lot of weapons there. I mean, it's not just Jamar Chase, right?
Yeah, no.
I mean, they got a lot of weapons.
No, but Jamar Chase is one. I mean, like honestly, the Cincinnati Bengals, I could make a case that for me they've become almost my favorite AFC team. Between Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase, those two guys are going to make magic for 10 years. And it's just fun to watch them on step one because I think they're going to be fantastic for a decade.
You know, it's an interesting point because there was all these different eras of Cincinnati, Cincinnati football. You had the Andy Dalton era with A.J. Green. They never won a playoff game. You had the Carson Palmer era where they were in it for a couple of years. They didn't win any playoff games. You got the Boomer Esiason era. They went to the Super Bowl. You got the Kenny Anderson era. So the Bengals, unlike the Cardinals, right, the Bengals had success in a lot of different eras. Although they were considered a laughing stock and the worst owner in football, along with Bill Bidwell, when you look for all those years, they were a laughing stock. Was it Mike Brown who was the owner?
Yeah, Mike Brown. Yeah.
Mike Brown. But there was success. There was success under Kenny Anderson. There was success under Boomer Esiason. There were playoff appearances under Carson Palmer. And even with Andy Dalton. I mean, A.J. Green went to the playoffs like five times with the Cincinnati Bengals. Never won a game, but he went there like five times. So, you know, throughout the history of the Bengals, there were plenty of times when they were like good enough to make the playoffs.
Yeah. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, you start thinking about X factors for the Cardinals and the Rams. From the Cardinals' standpoint, it's pretty obvious who and what the biggest X factor is. It goes deeper than that, and Gambo and I will do exactly that when talking about X factors for this game next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Football Friday with Burns and Gambo.
Let's go!
Presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
If you think about it, you don't have to think about it too hard. If the story is headlined, X factors for each team, it's pretty obvious what the X factor is for the Arizona Cardinals. I do not disagree with what Bucky Brooks wrote today on NFL.com. The J.J. Watt and how much he can play and how effective he's going to be. I mean, if we're calling it like it is, Gambo, that is truly the biggest X factor for the Arizona Cardinals. Unless you disagree, I'd be curious to hear if you did. But to me,
it's interesting. So, I think we could. I think that's debatable. I mean, could you make an argument that James Conner is the X factor?
Yes, you could.
Or Zach Ertz.
Not as much as James Conner or JJ, but I suppose you could. Yeah.
Just trying to think, player like Christian Kirk, could he be an X? They could sit here and say this is the X factor from every single game, and they'll get one or two right. The X factor will probably be somebody other than who they think will be the X factor.
Potentially.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, but potentially. And James Conner, I think, is the only other, for me anyway, and I thought of Rondale Moore, I thought of Christian Kirk, I thought of Zach Ertz. There are a bunch of guys who could be it, but it's easy to take the 3-time defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
And say, is he not? Will he, won't he? And and the write-up of what he had to say about J.J. Watt was what blew my mind. The 3-time defensive of the player of the year returned to practice this week, could be ready to rock on Monday night. If the energetic playmaking specialist is able to give the Cardinals 20-plus snaps on obvious passing downs, Vance Joseph's blitz packages could devastate opponents in the postseason tournament. 20. That's it. He's claiming that's enough for JJ to be able to impact the outcome of this game if he's able to play on 20 obvious passing downs.
Okay, but if I said to you, and in all honesty, JJ Watt, pick A or B, JJ Watt plays 20 snaps, he has no sacks, no quarterback pressures, 2 tackles, where J.J. Watt plays 20 sacks. He has three pressures, a sack, a tipped pass. You know what I'm saying? I think there is a chance that J.J. Watt could play and not be a factor at all. I think that exists. There were games this year that J.J. Watt played and he didn't factor in. So I'm just saying it's possible that we're all hyped up about J.J. Watt what he potentially could do in this game. But, man, are we asking too much? Are we asking too much out of a guy who hasn't played in 3 months?
Now, that is a different question, and that is a very good question. And the answer to that is probably yes, we probably are.
Yeah.
We probably are.
So how is he the X factor?
We are probably – because
of what the potential is.
Because of what the potential is.
Okay.
Because because of how he was playing before he left. And I know the sack numbers weren't great. J.J. Watt was blowing dudes up. I mean, he was impacting several plays a game, whether he was getting to the quarterback or not. So, yeah, is it unfair that we've got such a high bar that we're expecting of him? Yes. And is it possible he doesn't impact the game? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's possible he plays 20 snaps and has two tackles.
But he's the X factor because the history of J.J. Watt tells us that when he's at his best, he is one of the best. Even
right.
in a limited capacity. And that's what makes him the ultimate X factor. I mean, James Conner, yeah, he's a huge X factor too. But I think for
you
me,
you have expectations that when he plays well.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's kind of the same thing. And for me, the thing about getting James Conner back is not just getting James Conner. It's James Conner and Chase Edmonds. You know, it's the two of them.
All right, let me throw one in there for you.
Hit me. Go ahead. Yeah.
Rashad Breeland. Could he be an X factor?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Rashad Breeland comes up with a pick and does a good job of defending Odell Beckham Jr. in the game.
Sure. Of course.
So I understand what you're saying. Like, James Conner plays and plays well. But he's played well all year, man. So you're looking at an X factor as somebody who, man, you're not really expecting much from, but can possibly give you a lot in the game.
Well,
I get you.
And again, with J.J. Watt, it's all about his ceiling. It's all about the heights that he is capable of achieving. We could come up with a dozen guys who could be X factors in this game, right?
But I like the angle of, okay, if it's Christian Kirk or it's Zach Ertz or so, you know what? Those guys have been X factors before, man. I think I like the idea of looking for somebody that you don't have a lot of expectations for. And that guy goes out there and does something special.
Yeah, and a guy like Rashad Breeland could fit that bill very well. There's a bunch of guys that you could
Rondale
come up
Moore.
With. Rondale Moore could be another
what
one.
What if Rondale Moore has 5 catches for 90 yards and 2 touchdowns?
I think he's got the potential to be an X factor in this game.
Yeah.
They've got
because he hasn't done it all year. He's been okay, but he hasn't done anything special all year.
They've got Cam Akers as the potential X factor for the Rams. It was interesting to see who their X factor was for the Green Bay Packers. Former Cardinal Devondre Campbell, who today was named first team All-Pro by the AP NFL writers. The Packers signed him to a 1-year, $2 million deal on June 9th. And today he was named All-Pro first team.
They are living on former Cardinal cast-offs.
Yes, they are.
Russell Douglas.
Yeah.
Russell Douglas and Devondre Campbell.
Yeah.
Like, seriously?
I know.
Russell Douglas has been a stud this year for the Green Bay Packers.
He's got
5 picks.
If you think about it too long, it will really piss you off if you're
a Cardinals
fan.
He's got 5 interceptions.
Yeah, it'll really make you mad if you spend too much time thinking about Russell Douglas.
Yeah, they had him and Antonio Hamilton. They kept Hamilton, and they got rid of Russell Douglas.
Yeah. When we come back, health is going to be the biggest factor in Monday's game. How are the Cardinals looking after day 2 of practice? We'll tell you how next on the Burns and Gambo Show.